Welcome to the MissouriNet Press Pass. My name is Darren Jobe. With me is MissouriNet Managing Editor Brent Martin and News Director Bob Pretty for a discussion of some of the biggest stories in Missouri news in the past week. And let's start it off, Brent, with the Missouri House Speaker and who else in an altercation about...
Well, they were.
Give me more info.
There was almost an altercation on the House floor today, which is on Thursday, which is interesting. But I think the most interesting thing in the House, we had a lot of things go on. Actually, we did the immigration bill. We did a, we tried to do a teacher minimum salary bill and did a lot. And we spent a lot of time on the floor, which we haven't done this session.
This is the same immigration bill we talked about last week
yes,
that went through
yes.
the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The House Speaker Rod Jetton of Marble Hill has been, one of his main agendas this year has been a minimum salary bill for teachers, increasing the minimum salary in Missouri for a teacher from $23,000 to $31,000. Contained within that was an amendment that would have provided, and this is something the Senate, Bob has covered over in the Senate, it would have provided tax credits for people who donate to a scholarship program that would allow special needs children, such as autistic children, go to private schools. I mean, they could go to others, but basically so they could go to private schools. And just the gist, not to go over that, but it would put money into the, if you donated scholarship, you get a tax credit. So that was stripped from the bill during House floor debate, which really that was could have gone either way, but it was stripped from the bill. As soon as it was stripped, the majority floor leader, who determines what is on the floor for debate, what isn't on the floor, has a huge say in what passes and what doesn't pass, pulled the bill. He asked for the House Speaker, Rod Jetton, because he's sponsoring it, asked for Speaker Jetton to yield, and he ended the day. And he then told the Associated Press that that bill will not see the light of day. We were able to ask House Speaker Jetton about that comment, and Speaker Jetton, which means effectively it's dead, which is kind of unusual to say, you know, 5 weeks left. But the House Speaker said, well, there's a little bit of emotion. It's kind of raw. Let's see what happens after the weekend, and we'll come back and see if we can revive this thing.
Do we need to put D's and R's on names for everybody to keep
they're
track?
They're all R's because they're House leadership. This is just between the Republican leadership. The House majority floor leader, Steve Tilley of Perryville, is a Republican because Republicans have the majority in the House, and the House Speaker is Rod Jetton, who is a Republican from Marble Hill. One of the things that came up, though, is something that Bob Pretty told me years and years and years ago. We have been at this for that long, but never, ever use the bill is dead in copy until after the session is closed.
That's because,
and I was telling somebody, I said, Bob, because I think I used that early on, and you said, Brent,
it's not dead.
Don't ever use dead.
Easter comes all the time in the Missouri General Assembly. Resurrections occur on a regular basis. Bills that are pronounced dead, suddenly the stone is rolled away and they pop right up again.
It's a miracle. Yeah. Does this dovetail at all with Jason Crowell in the Senate?
It's the same sort of thing. It's Crowell's proposal is to set up scholarships for special needs children, and he was a special needs child. He talked about this on the floor. Jason Crowell is dyslexic, not just was dyslexic, he is dyslexic. And I talked to him about this. It's interesting. But he had an individual, what they call an IEP, an individual education program, when he was in school.
Mm-hmm.
Which means it's programmed specifically tailored for somebody who is challenged, has someone's special needs. And his idea is, what happens if you have a special needs child, but the school district is not or is not capable of meeting the needs of this special needs child? What do the parents do to get this child the kind of education, the kind of services that they need? And so his idea is to set up basically I don't know if you call it a foundation, but set up a
scholarship,
a trust into which people make donations for which they get tax credits.
It's very similar to
And then out of that comes the scholarships that enable the parents to send their child to another school district or perhaps even help them move to another place where there's a district that can take care of them. The problem is Missouri has two schools specifically for special needs children. One is in Southeast Missouri, one is in St. Louis. And that's it. So if you want to have a, if you have a special needs child, you have to find a service within your own school district or in a private school or somewhere else, and that can be pretty expensive. So this is intended to help those parents. Now, the opponents are saying this is going to hurt the public schools because it's taking public money away from the public schools. And Crowell argues that that is indirect at best because it's not going to change the school foundation formula that where the state money goes to the schools because an amendment's been added to the bill that says if you have a special needs child who leaves the school and goes somewhere else on one of these scholarships, the school district continues to count that child as if they are still there. So their state aid is not affected.
Right.
The argument then becomes even more abstract. Well, if I get a tax credit, that means I pay less taxes to the state, which goes into the state's general bank account, and it's from that general bank account that aid to schools is distributed. So that's where the argument, I think, still is, that public money is going to potentially private schools. Crowell says that's pretty far reach to make that argument, and he suggests that the people who will really benefit from this will be public schools, not private schools.
Lightening the load on the public school.
I think one of the things that is so interesting about Majority Floor Leader Steve Tilley's stance is most observers, those of us in the Capitol Press Corps, had assumed that if the House bill on minimum teacher pay contained that amendment, it would die in the Senate or it would be stripped. It would not get through, especially with what happened to Senator Crowell's bill when it came up the Senate. I mean, it was so... It seems almost counterintuitive that he would pull it because that was gone, because many people thought that wouldn't survive the legislative process anyway. But it is a rare it's a rare moment when you have the majority floor leader, who again is the traffic cop, if you will, for bills, resolutions, everything coming through on the House, and the speaker to be at odds.
Right.
And it is especially unusual. Trying to say the right, unusual for the speaker's bill. This has had the House speaker's bill to be declared dead, or it will not see the light of day. And we'll have to see. That's what he said.
I would think it would be up to the speaker to decide.
Rod Jetton has. Well, you know, all speakers I've ever covered have always said, "Well, it's the floor leaders." I mean, they've always deferred to the floor leader on this, but. They have certain powers that come into play that can definitely influence the floor leader. This is one we'll have to see how it plays out. This was definitely a major bill that Rod Jetton was pushing, but that was unusual.
Hey, unusual. Let me play Dents for a moment. I know that's going to be a stretch, but
of course it was.
Why not do it as two separate items? Why not say here is...
Well, the thought is that the
separately here is
the scholarship program wouldn't work on its own. So yeah. You tie it. People who normally, this is one of these legislative compromises. People who normally would support a teacher pay might not support the scholarship program.
But they're compromising.
And so you're trying to put them together to see if you can. And some who might support the scholarship might not support increase in teacher pay.
It just seems
so
like
you try to put it together. And get them through. I don't think a scholarship program would go through on its own.
Well,
it doesn't seem like it'll go through the Senate.
If
it's holding up the teacher pay, then
it's been defeated in the House now.
Yeah,
we have an actual vote.
I don't know if it'll go in the Senate. We've reached the point in the Senate now where we're taking up a lot of bills and giving them an hour or two of debate and then putting them aside to come back later. A lot of times, what happens in the Senate, and I don't know, Brent, if this happens in the House, they'll bring up a bill and debate it for a couple of hours, and they know they're not going to get to a vote on it. But what that does is that brings to light where the opponents are, what their points are, and then you put it aside for a while, and the sponsor sits down with the people who have some doubts about it, and they try to work things out so that when they do bring it back, then it's in a position where they can get a vote on it. So that's what goes on at this late stage in a legislative session. They get a lot of test debate out there. Then they try to work behind the scenes to get things smoothed out so they can come back and move.
Bring it back as a stronger bill. Hopefully, get it passed.
And they can also negotiate behind. Yeah. And a lot of the negotiations go completely behind closed doors, we don't see at all. Yeah. We don't. Yeah. You know, no. They'll come back. They'll work some things out.
Well, and that's the way it's by design. It is that way on purpose.
Yeah. But that's where we are on that one. I mean, we've got a lot of.
It's interesting.
We're at the point now in the legislative session where people are looking for creative ways to take bills that don't stand a chance and get them amended onto other bills that do have a chance. So what we're going to see in the next several weeks in both the House and the Senate is a lot of people whose bills perhaps haven't even had a committee hearing or have had a committee hearing and nothing else has happened, they're going to be trying to amend their bills onto bills that are alive and do have a chance one way or another. So we're going to see some very large bills before we get done with tons of amendments on them.
Right.
And it starts just about now every year.
And we'll have to pay attention.
Closer attention. An amendment on there that seems unrelated.
Mm-hmm. The end of the session comes along and they give you a list of the bills that have passed. And then you look at the list of bills and you think, okay, this bill is this bill, but how many other bills are in this bill? And it's kind of difficult sometimes to straighten out what did make it and what didn't.
Right.
You say this bill didn't make it, but it's in another bill that you've forgotten about somewhere.
Well, thanks for watching it, because I don't think anybody else could pay attention. I think we're out of time, guys. Thanks for your time. For Brent Martin, Bob Pretty, my name's Darren Jobe. You've been listening to the Missouri Net Press Pass. Have a great day.